This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And we've got a new number to give you to call. So if you want to call to get on a chance to win tickets to the Michigan State-Ohio State game, give us a call at 884-4870. That's 884-4870. Area code 517. Give us a call at that number, 884-4870, and register for your chance to win tickets to MSU, Michigan State football with MSU and Ohio State. But right now, we've got a very good friend on. We haven't talked to him in a long time, and it's great to have him back in the area. Mark Wilson is with us, and you might have remember hearing Mark when he was in Detroit. He's been in Las Vegas for the last couple of years, and now he's back with us in Detroit. So let's bring in our good friend, Mark Wilson. Mark, how you doing, my friend?
Let me tell you something, Earl. I knew when I was back, only when I got that first phone call from Earl Robinson. I knew then that it was official that I was no longer in Southern Nevada.
No, we're a little bit, colder up here than in Southern Nevada. You coming back from a nice climate with the beautiful warm weather back here into the cold Michigan. But I know you love it.
Let me tell you something. If anybody's been to Las Vegas in the wintertime, that's no bargain. It's cold there. I'm not trying to complain, okay? I'm not complaining about my little Southern Nevada, the mouth of the Mojave and all that. But it can be awfully cold there in your January and February there, fella.
Yes, well, now you don't have to worry about that anymore. You can just embrace the coldness in Michigan.
I'm good with it. Cool.
Hey, Mark, now you're back, and ESPN now has a radio station in Detroit. They haven't had a regular station that they could call their own. Now you have 1090 there in Detroit.
Yeah, and these guys kind of recruited me. It's one of those offers I couldn't refuse. And you know how much I love Michigan, and I always, I said this before about people that badmouth Detroit. I don't like it because I just think it's unfair and it's too easy to do, and I've never had a use for anybody that does that. So I was actually kind of happy to come back and do this. And ESPN 1090, yes, we haven't had anything really like it in Detroit at all. And we're trying to make a little mark, a little dent. And it's only been on since they flipped the calls, I guess, in February. I joined on last month in August, and so far so good.
Yes, and it's good that, people always want to talk, ESPN is such a big brand across the United States, and not having a station in Detroit, people have always wondered why. I know they used to have the programming, but now they don't hardly have the programming. But they always wanted their own station in Detroit, and it's great that you have the station. I know it's not a high level as far as wattage in the signal, but that'll probably come. I assume you're probably trying to get a stronger signal there in the Detroit area.
Actually, we're changing it as we speak. There's a little issue right now with the town of Milford because that's where the new sticks will go up. Everything's ready to go. Milford, and it backs up to Wixom. If they will approve that, we could go and be as strong as some of the big players in this town, and that will happen eventually. And we've got a brand new facility coming, and that used to be Joe Dumars' former business offices at Detroit Technologies, right on Telegraph. So we got a brand new, beautiful facility that is coming for sure. And the wattage change will happen too. In fact, it's been promised to ESPN, so that's going to happen. So it'll sneak into the Lansing area. It'll nudge its way. We're going to move up the dial a little bit. I don't have to think I'm giving anything away. We're hoping that it's 1160, and it'll snake through towards Ingham County.
Oh, that'll be good. We'll love to have it here, that's for sure. Hey, well, now what about, you've got the national programming. Are you going to do some local programming as well? Do you expect to have some of the Detroit people or Detroit area people on your dial there in Detroit that are national people that go on the network, like, Rob Parker and others? Jamel Hill's a national correspondent. Will you think that you'll get them on locally?
Well, I just literally talked to Rob a couple of minutes. In fact, Rob Parker says hello, Earl.
Okay.
Literally 2 minutes before you called, and I want to get Rob involved, but we have local shows on now. Damon Perry, the dog, who is a national guy, is on. I'm changing his hours, Earl, because, you know, I'm the program director. He'll go 1 to 4. Art Regner, the Red Wing guru, and one of the most controversial voices in Michigan.
Yeah, I know Art's a good friend, too. Tell him I said hello.
Absolutely, I will. And he and Eddie Mio, the former Wings goaltender, played 11 years in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Eddie and Art do the afternoon show. They'll go from 4 to 7. They're on 5 to 7 now. And then I'm going to start doing nights probably October the 8th. We'll start doing the 7 to 10 show. So we'll be local from 1 to 10. We have to carry Mike and Mike in the morning.
Yeah.
An ESPN rule, and pretty much Colin as well. Colin Coward, who I go back 20 years with. I've known him since his TV days in Tampa. And then after that, we can kind of play with the schedule any way we want. So we'll at least have local from 1 to 10, and it could be stretched a little bit in the not-so-distant future.
Now, how will you come up here? How will you cover Michigan State? That's what people want to know, you know, from this market. So how will you cover the Spartans?
Well, first of all, you know, me being a Spartan, that's a priority. I have a guy at every game. I have had a guy at practices already. I want him there. Anything D'Antonio's going to do. Next question. I want to be there for the next question.
Uh-huh.
I love that, by the way, Mark. Don't get me wrong. I love the next question thing. So we'll probably do more than you even realize. And, of course, my affiliation with Izzo after the basketball program, having done the Heathcote show for all those years. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm rallying to get Judd back in East Lansing. He just won't do it. I actually saw him in Las Vegas, Earl.
Oh, okay.
I saw him. He was with Gonzaga when they played in the Mountain West thing at Orleans in Vegas. And Judd was there. And so that was kind of cool to see Judd again because I don't see him often. I talk to him occasionally over the years. But we'll do a lot with basketball. I mean, I'll be there when Tom has his thing. That's coming up soon, isn't it, too?
Yes, it is. Midnight Madness is right around the corner.
It's like 3 weeks, not even 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there a lot for that. And I'll do state hockey, too, because, you know, my affiliation, you know, having done games, you know, at Munn, I want to have a lot of MSU hockey. Unfortunately, I'm almost got a tie to – we're going to carry some Michigan stuff.
Yeah.
Some Michigan hockey, but I already know that on our air we're going to have all the Michigan State hockey games on our air. We have an agreement to do that. I would like to carry the Tommy Anastas show because I think I have to carry Red, so I'd like to have Tommy on there too. And you know, I've known Tom forever since he was a player at MSU. He's still coaching, right?
Yep.
Nothing happened to Anastas in the offseason or anything?
Nothing happened yet. He's still here.
All right. Well, and Tommy Anastas will be. I will make sure that he is a regular on our programming.
Oh, that's good. It's good, Mark. Good to hear you, and good to hear you're going to be doing a lot of things with Michigan State here. And I know that'll make Michigan State happy, you know, to have even a stronger voice in Detroit. As you know, we've already got, there on WGR, so, you know, that'll be even more.
Oh, I'm planning on really making the Michigan people angry, be honest with you, Earl. That's kind of my goal, but no, I'm trying to be fair. Trying to be fair to David Brandon and the good folks in Ann Arbor and Bruce Motti and all those people that I've known forever as well. You know, I want to make sure that we're cool, but there will be a slight edge to the green and white, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep. Oh, yes, without a doubt. You know what? It's really good just hearing you. I mean, I hadn't talked to you in a few years. It's great to have you back in. I can call you up from time to time, you know, so it's really great having you back in the area.
You know, I wasn't like, you know, on the moon. You
right.
In Las Vegas. I mean,
that's
it's
true.
Sort of an hour time difference, Earl. It wouldn't have killed you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always available to you, even when I was doing that nighttime show in Vegas at that station with my former partner, Jessica Hall. And Justin and I had by the way, we had a blast doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bucket list thing for me. I always wanted to do. I've been going out to Vegas for about 30 years. And I said, one day I want to just come here and I want to do a radio show, entertainment/sports, for Las Vegas, by Las Vegas. I wanted it all Las Vegas, and I just had an absolute. It was just a jack to do it. It was just a lot of fun.
Now, you know, I've always been a boxing guy. So how much boxing did you get into when you were doing Vegas?
Well, obviously, with Mayweather there all the time, and sometimes incarcerated more than others, and Floyd is out there, you'll see him literally at the casinos. He does a lot of sports booking, as everybody now knows, with that huge bet he made a few weeks ago, the $3 million he put down on the college football. But between Mayweather and Pacquiao, obviously the two biggest names to come to through Vegas, you know, because MMA and the UFC have almost literally catapulted themselves past the regular boxing organizations.
Yes.
It's so huge there. Dana White has made sure we had Dana on our show, and it's just MMA and UFC has just really overtaken. I'm stunned that boxing has come to where it is, you know, because I'm been all those years with Emmanuel, and you know, obviously I'm a Kronk guy, and Tommy Hearns, and all the stuff here in Detroit, and Michael Moore, and Moore and whatnot. It's just it was almost stunning to see the embryonic state that MMA was in, and then took off like it did, and UFC as well, and to do all that. But Las Vegas has really become almost more of that, a bigger event than everything but a Mayweather fight or a Pacquiao fight. And I'm from the old school, so we wanted to do more boxing. But boy, there's just not as many events in Las Vegas as there used to be. But the other thing, you could do all day, every day. And in fact, the ESPN station in Vegas, ESPN 1100, does do a lot of that. Dana White is a regular. However, Mike Tyson is also a regular. He lives there, and he's become this kind of weird, not that Mike Tyson's become weird. He's become this media guy, though. He loves being on the radio. He loves this one-man show he was doing in Vegas. They took it on the road. Kind of, you know, it's just a different Tyson. And even he has commented that the boxing game has just fallen off the face of the planet in many respects. And a lot of that has to do with the heavyweight division, because you don't see as much of those things when they happen, because they're not happening there. Klitschko won't fight there, or very rarely. And he's kind of ruling the heavyweight game right now, and it's kind of hurting boxing.
Yes, and that's a shame, Mark, that, you know, we rely so much on the heavyweight division. I mean, I like the smaller divisions, and I think smaller divisions have been good. But, boy, we just put so much emphasis on the heavyweight division. It's like people they just ignore everything else that's going on. Some of those fighters, they have some very good fighters in the lower divisions, but you never know it because we just don't pay it any attention.
I think after Lennox and Evander and Tyson and that little troika kind of ended, and then the Klitschkos started ruling the world, I think we all knew it would be an issue, because they would rather fight in other venues than even in this country. They don't have much regard for it, unfortunately. And I guess, you know, Don King and Bob Arum in the same brain trust, you know, they just can't convince them enough to fight here, and I think it's really hurt the game. Because, yes, I still believe it, even as strong as the middleweight division can be or the welterweight division can be, I still believe that as the heavyweight division goes, so goes boxing. And that's why I think you see it now at a low level, even behind the mixed martial arts stuff, because it just doesn't have that superstar. It needs a, you know what boxing needs, Earl? It needs a Tiger Woods. It needs somebody from this country to really bust it out again and to be that big name in the heavyweight division, which I think would then lend credence to the rest of the divisions after it.
Well, you know, we have a Spartan here that's fighting in a heavyweight. I don't know if you had a chance to meet Seth Mitchell. He's becoming a pretty good heavyweight. He's in the top 10 right now. He's going to be fighting again soon. As a matter of fact, I'll have him on the show tomorrow. He's like 19-1. So he's a very good heavyweight.
Right, I know of Seth. Yeah. He is, and he could be that guy.
Yeah.
He's one of those, he's that kind of, if he could bust out and really capture the imagination of people, I think Seth can be that guy. I do agree with you. I know of him. I know what a quality fighter he is, and he is probably what I just was kind of targeting, a guy like that, you know, born here, bred here, from here, and to kind of get that kind of thing cooking again.
Yes, That's for sure. Well, hey, Mark, we're going to hold you on for one more segment. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
In Afghanistan, the vast majority of missions in recent months were joint operations, where NATO troops paired with Afghan forces. Most of those joint operations are now on hold after dozens of NATO troops were killed by Afghans in uniform. I'm Neil Conan. If we're not training Afghans, can they ever take on the Taliban? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Our high today is 73 degrees, mostly sunny. There is a slight chance of rain developing late today. It'll be partly cloudy tonight, and there's a chance of rain, the low 48. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high of 69. Sunny with a high in the mid-60s Thursday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We have a new number to call if you want a chance to win tickets to the MSU-Ohio State game. That's 884-4870. 884-4870. Give us a call, and you can win a chance to win tickets for the next Michigan State game, and that's against Ohio State. Once again, 884-4870, area code 517. And we're talking with Mark Wilson, program director at 1090 AM in Detroit, as we have a new ESPN station in the Detroit area, and you'll be hearing that and hearing them. And the numbers might change a little bit, as you said, Mark. It might move down the dial a little bit, but I know we'll be able to hear that, and maybe we can even hear it here in Lansing. It'll be great if we can get it down here in Ingham County. So we give another station. I got to tell you as well, your good friend Fred Heumann wants to give you a call, so I have to give you his number later on, and you can call up and talk with
Fred. No, I called Freddie. I got Freddie's number.
Oh, okay.
I want to talk to Freddie H., and I know he's doing great there, and that's good to know. And I wanted to say, I heard Scott Pohl. You know, how long have I known Scott Pohl?
Yeah, long time.
I've known Scott probably 30, as long as you, probably 30-something years. And, I mean, I miss seeing Scott up there. It was great when I would fill in for you, and then I could have my guy Craig Moreland, who loves your show, who might be listening right now, who should be listening. If he's not, I'm going to brain him. And he used to love coming in, and he would sit in with me, and it was just a real thrill. So, I mean, Earl, you're the legend. You are the guru of sports talk radio in that mid-Michigan. And if you ever leave, I'm telling you, I'm going to get people to find you.
Well,
don't be talking crazy on me now, okay?
Well, I just gave you a little hint. It'll be next year sometime.
Early part of next year. I'll believe it when I don't hear it.
Okay. Well, we got, I think you know this guy coming up. We got Jerry from Haslett on the line. Jerry, how you doing?
Pretty good, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. Why anybody would want to talk to Fred Heumann is beyond me, but I'll set that aside for the moment. Mark, it's good to hear your voice, and, you know, being a longtime, native of the Lansing area, you just can't, you're kind of a glutton for punishment. I guess your life keeps drawing you back to Michigan.
No, I don't think it's, glutton for punishment. Let me tell you something. I mean, it's a hard living in Las Vegas. Some people don't realize that because they see the Strip, and I've always said, and we call it just the street. That's, you can pick up that street and move it anywhere. It's two blocks off that street that is really, it doesn't get reported a lot because people don't want you to know it, but the homelessness, the joblessness, the begging in the streets, the complete subdivisions that no longer have occupants, the houses are empty. It's really something to see. Even City Center with the great Cosmopolitan, the Vidar and the Ari and all that. I mean, the occupancy level is at such a low rate, you wouldn't believe it. Again, that's not something the Tourism Bureau is going to bust out at you in the LV.
I have a question, if I could, Mark. I don't know if Earl has other callers. About the NHL, obviously the work stoppage, it seemed like the last time, you know, there were issues on both sides, and the players were not particularly well represented and felt so, and that's why they recruited Donald Fehr, who's also obviously a controversial figure, but at least they're confident that this guy knows what he's doing. What is your take on the current stoppage and what can be done for, in a larger sense, for the sport of hockey?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I actually, before I left Vegas, I had a long talk with Gary Bettman at the Wynn at a very late hour. He was there with, I think, his family, and I just ran into him in the lobby area of the Wynn Casino and Hotel. And I'm telling you this is my impression. Gary Bettman, even more than in 04, he really wants to change the game. This is not any more of this what Donald Fehr is going to do for the Players Association or the NHLPA. You know, I saw Ted Lindsay was just, he's around town still, and Mio just had a golf thing with Ted. And Ted's the guy that started it all back in the 50s. He got that thing going. And there's this feeling from even guys like Lindsay and the current players that this is it. this is where the owners are finally going to put the hatchet down. And this is not, in my opinion, this was never going to be a short deal. Even with the Winter Classic, and they want to get that in, that can always happen in 15 or some other time. Bettman and the owners literally now want to change it all. They want to change revenue. They want to change length of contracts. They want to own the farm, and they want to, the other, you're going to play the, by the rules now, and they're not going to make salaries that can't be affordable with teams that are barely dancing on the edge of maybe not so much bankruptcy, but you know there's probably 10 teams in the National Hockey League that could fold tomorrow and wouldn't be missed because of the financial situation. But just like they changed it in 04 that led to the NBA and the NFL doing the almost the exact same thing, and a lot of it was with rookie contracts and whatnot and amnesty and all this stuff. That's what the NHL wants to take it further. So don't – if this gets settled, it'll only be because the players succumb to the pressure. There will be no – this is not about negotiation. I'm telling you, the owners want to change this thing completely to their favor because they're tired of making no money and running the show. That's all – I mean, that's what I get from Bettman.
Yeah, I understand that too, especially with, without a – anything near what is a lucrative TV contract. I just think a lot of this, apart from the issues between the sides, has to do with ill-advised expansion, you know, Mark, in some of these markets that you know were kind of borderline to begin with some years ago, and now that, you know, that's come back to kind of bite them. But
anyway, you're totally right. They danced with the devil. They took that expansion money because it was so big, it was $50 million or thereabouts, and they were willing to take it knowing full well it could water down and could really hurt their game in total, and it did. And there's not enough relating to the players that are currently in the league by many teams, including the Canadian teams. I mean, look how bad Montreal's been. Look how terrible Toronto's been. Haven't won anything since 1960. What is it, 67 now? It's amazing to think that. The Wings survived because of a strong owner. The LA Kings just won a championship with a bad ownership and an eighth seed. So the league is kind of convoluted. And yes, they did dance with the devil. I'll use that phrase because taking that money, they knew what they were getting into. And there's no way they can just lob those teams off because they would get a percentage of that money back. And that's not going to happen. They need every dime. If they had it their way, I'm telling you, they might want to expand again into places like Portland, Seattle, Paul Allen.
That's just lunacy.
Of course it's lunacy, but yeah. There's $50 to $100 million in it for them. And they look, they're greedy. They want the cash. It's not going to happen probably, although Paul Allen has been pushing for a team in either Portland or Seattle over all these years. And why not? He's one of the richest men on the planet. Not as rich as he used to be, but still got enough money to own football teams and whatnot. So you're totally right, though. It's what – it didn't kill the league, but it didn't help the league. It only helped them in their coffers.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Good luck with the new venture at ESPN. And Earl, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Jerry. And Mark, we have a guest who's just come down to talk to you.
Hey, Mark, it's Scott.
Hi, Scott Paul.
How you doing?
Good. I heard those dulcet tones doing the weather. I said, that's my guy.
I got to say, Mark, I'm really happy that the statute of limitations has run out and you're allowed to be back in Michigan. Welcome home.
You know what? It's funny. You don't think we have borders in this country, but I couldn't get back in.
Well, I'm really happy to have you back in town, and I'm hoping you're right that your signal will get up here into Ingham County so we can hear you.
Hey, don't forget, this is 2012. Smartphones.
Yeah. Yeah, get an app. Get an app, my friend.
Dream. You know, we do all that stuff, all that newfangled stuff.
Get an app, and I'll give you a positive review on your app, okay?
I like that. Give me a like. Give me a like on Facebook,
That's right. Well, I just posted on Facebook that you're on the air, so I hope some of my Facebook followers are tuning in today.
That's great. And I see Scott on Facebook all the time. In fact, Scott had, Earl had, he was out in Vegas, and I just literally had come back before Scott went out there. I really wanted to see him out there. It was a lot of fun having people come out, and it would have been a fun deal to do. Maybe we'll still do that sometime down the road, Scott.
Well, I was going to say, who am I going to haunt in Vegas next time I'm out there?
You know what? I'm still going to be going back quite often. I might be there. You just better check with me.
I will. I promise. Good to talk to you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Scott Paul.
Sure.
Okay. See,
I love that guy.
Yeah, see, we have all the old friends. I talked with Jack Ebling. He knows you're back. He said, tell you hello. Talk with him today. So yeah, I was just meeting some of the guys over at our press conference. You know, we had the press conference on Tuesdays with Mark D'Antonio. So I just came back from there and came in here, had to run in here. So Tuesday is a busy day for me, to say the least.
No, I know. And I will get – actually, myself will get back to going to some of those things, too. I mean, having – really my – focus has been ears and sales so far since I started that, getting more people to listen to the station, which is doing great, and sales, which has been unbelievable. But that's been my kind of charge since I started this. So I said, I'll get back to going to press conferences, more games. I've only been to like one Tiger game since I've been back too. It just doesn't, there's not, we really are almost doing this 24/7 right now. I'm a tired lad, but not complaining about that either. But that's, you got to do it that way, Earl. In 2012, you've got to get the people listening. You've got to get sales to the station so it's not just all money out. But I'll get back to going to MSU press conferences. And like I said, I will definitely be there when Izzo has his media thing before the Midnight Madness.
Yes, but, boy, I almost hate to bring it up, but the Tigers, you know, they don't have many games left. I don't know. I always thought they were going to make the playoffs, even in the beginning of the year, but... boy, they've been such an inconsistent group. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs now.
I'm still holding that they will. I have held on to it since, and I know Art Regner went crazy on our air the other day after the White Sox, the makeup game loss.
Yeah.
Following the Cleveland loss, he said he called it over. In fact, he was funny about it. He said the Tigers are planning a fall color tour. You're able to go with them starting early October. They'll take you up through Traverse City and Muskegon. And I said, look, you know what? Hold off on this because I'm still going to contend that, and people have said, asked me this about the Tigers. Are you disappointed with how it's gone? I said, no, here's what you're disappointed about. You're disappointed that the White Sox came out of nowhere. That's what you don't understand.
Yeah.
I think the point where even the Tigers were like 11 games over 500, I said, how many games do you think they'd be over? You think they'd be the Nationals? You think they'd really be 30 games? I said, I didn't. I thought 10, 15, maybe up to 20.
Yeah.
So that's a 5-6 game swing. What you can't get over is that Robin Ventura, after all the disarray in Chicago with Kenny Williams and Ozzie Guillen and all that last year, and how bad Adam Dunn was, and Alex Rios, now how much better they've been this year, that's the part you don't get. That's the part you can't handle, that the White Sox are better. I still think when it's all said and done, the Tigers are going to the postseason as the representatives of the American League Central. I still believe that with, what, 9 left to play and one game back.
It's been amazing. I mean, I just never would have thought that. I mean, I came out at the beginning of the year saying I thought the Tigers, like we all did in this area, everyone, you know, bought the Kool-Aid that the Tigers were going to win. You know, they signed Cecil Fielder, but they forgot that you got to play defense, and this hasn't been a very good defensive
team. Can't be like me, Earl. It's Prince and not Cecil. If they'd signed Cecil.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to
say Prince
guy.
All the time. That's it.
I know. I do it too all the time.
But that's what happens when you have a guy who was as good as he was and was so strong. And Prince is a good player, but, you know, he's a pretty decent fielder. But, you know, with him and Cabrera at third and Prince at first base, boy, we just haven't had the rest of the – other than, you know, we've got a pretty good center fielder in Jackson. But after that, boy, our defense has really been putrid.
Yeah, the defense really showed how bad it was the other night. I always thought that maybe it was a little bit overhyped as to how bad it was. I think Cabrera's been actually better at third base than I thought he would be. I think they missed.
Me too. That's the same way. Just thought he's better than what we thought he'd be.
He's better than I think we thought. Now, he already played that position in Florida, and we'd seen him do that, so it wasn't a mystery. Alex Avila's been a big disappointment. So has Johnny Peralta. That's been the two positions to me, the catcher spot and the shortstop spot. Other than that, I mean, obviously second base is something I think everybody would have liked to see better things with. But if you had told me that Justin Verlander would be where he is now, probably a few extra losses than I would like, and Max Scherzer would be where he would be, I would have probably told you that team was in front by 5-10 games.
Yes, the starting pitching has been great. That's what's amazing. The starting pitching has been good, but the bullpen has let us down all year long.
Well, they had the one stretch where they didn't, when Valverde looked a little better, Papagee looked a little bit better, but then Ben Wassner gave up homers like crazy. And, look, there was no way. You're comparing the 2012 Tigers to the 11 Tigers.
That's true.
That 11 team went 77-0 after the seventh inning.
Yeah.
That was never going to happen again, and maybe in our lifetime.
That's true.
It'd be 77-0, 77 straight following the – it was never going to happen again. So the only problem with that was They'd already lost seven of those games by, like, May. And that was the scary part, that it was like taking the reverse turn. They were losing too many games in the late innings, and that was on Valverde, that was on Benoit, that was on a little bit of Phil Koch. And then they got a little bit better, and then they suffered the back. But here you are, still within in a bad division. I understand that, because it's still bad, even with the White Sox where they are. Cleveland's been bad. Kansas City's starting to look a little bit better, but we all know that they're still the Royals. And you're still within eye shot of doing. Now, what can you do if you actually make the postseason? That's all bets are off, and who knows then.
Yeah.
But for the time being, I think there's been a little too much maniacality, if that's even a word, over how terrible this has been for the Tigers. You're talking about a team still double digits over 500 and one game out of the top spot. That's a little much.
Yes. And then, you know, when we look at our football teams, college and pro teams, boy, it's just surprising that, you know, they're okay, but, you know, they're not doing as well as we thought they were in this area. Maybe we just thought had expectations too high for the Lions and for the Spartans and for Michigan.
Well, Andy Maxwell is still a mystery to me. Andrew Maxwell has got to show us that he can be that guy. Again, you're talking about a very strange Big Ten. When Ohio State at 14 is your top team, yeah, and you only have, what, three teams ranked, you know, and Northwestern's on the bubble, but we all know where Northwestern really is because of the teams they played. If you had told me that State would be 3-1 heading to Ohio State, I understand that when Purdue can slap a 56 on Eastern, you got 23, you know, it's not the greatest thing ever. But you're 3-1 going to the Ohio State game at home, where Braxton Miller's got to now show his thing, and Urban Meyer, and I think their 4-0 is a little phony baloney, too. I believe they're going to beat Ohio State. I think they're going to beat Ohio State on Saturday. I almost want to say it might not be as tough as you think it'll be, but mm-hmm. I'm going to go a little closer than even I like to think, because I don't want to go crazy. Only because I think Le'Veon Bell can really run on them, and I just got to see a little bit more of Andrew Maxwell. Deion Sims is nice as your leading target, as your leading receiver. But Keith Mumphrey with 15, if that's going to be your top receiver after four games, 15 catches, you got some issues.
Yes, and I really think that any team can stop a tight end. So I think that the Ohio State will probably do a good job of shutting Deion Sims down.
If that's the case, you got bigger issues.
Yeah,
because Maxwell is digging him as his target. I'm cool with that. Because Deion Sims isn't your real classic tight end. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just a big, overall receiver kind of guy, which is fine if that's where he's going to go. If Ohio State shuts him down, you don't have the luxury of a B.J. Cunningham anymore, or a Keith Nichol, or a Keyshawn Martin. You don't have that. And other guys have to step it up, obviously. I mean, you're 104th in the country in points per game. That's not good. I don't care if you're 11th in points against. You got to up that ante on 104. We don't have 300 college football teams. It's in the 110s or 120.
Yeah.
So you're not that high on that list. That's got to change as you get further into the schedule and you're playing teams like, you know, Iowa, the stunning loss to Central. But they can score points. But I'm still blown away by that. As I'm sure everybody is. But even when you go to Indiana or if you go to Wisconsin, you expect them to score, at least do some damage where you got to get some points on the board.
Oh, that's for sure.
Three against Notre Dame and 23 against Eastern will not fly against teams like Nebraska and the Michigan game and maybe even against Northwestern later in the year.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And, Mike, I must admit I'm considering, because I had picked yesterday Ohio State to beat Michigan, but I'm going to hold off judgment on that. I'll make that final decision of who I'm going to pick on Friday.
You mean Ohio State to beat Michigan State?
Yeah, beat Michigan State. I picked them yesterday for them to win the game, but I'll hold.
I thought you were going to start picking the Ohio State-Michigan game, which was good.
Yeah.
I don't. You know what? I'm not with you. I think State can beat Ohio State. I think if the game were at the Shoe, I might think differently. I think this is a home field kind of deal. And with the game being there, I think, and I want to be there for that, but I really believe that the defense alone can make this thing happen. But, boy, this would be a great game to have an Andrew Maxwell bust out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Have that signature performance that shows you that, and I've heard this from other people, that you're hoping that at least he's the best quarterback on the roster. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's Connor Cook. There's some fans there. The freshman Michael Taylor O'Connor. There's other people. You didn't have that issue with Kirk Cousins or Jeff Smoker or Drew Stanton. Your last few or even Brian Hoyer. So Andrew Maxwell is so key. I know it's the quarterback, and I'm not saying any, you know, reinventing the wheel here,
right.
But he's got to have that bust-out game, and I'm thinking that Ohio State could be that game.
Yes, well, I'm going to hold my judgment. I'm going to take back that pick I made yesterday, and I'm going to hold off till Friday until I'll have a little bit more information and know for sure if I want to stick with it or do I want to pick Michigan State to win.
What info do you need? Come on, Le'Veon Bell's got 600. What do you need? 600 yards, 5 touchdowns. Come on, what do you need? Come on, Earl, go for it. Today it's Tuesday.
Well, I'll have to wait just because.
All right,
you know,
fine.
Hey, Mark, it's always good talking with you. You know, we'll be talking a lot more now that you're back here. You're down in Detroit. We'll have you on much more and talk Michigan sports. And, of course, you've got all the sports down there. We didn't even get a chance to talk any Pistons today, but we'll do that the next time you're on.
Yeah, that thing's coming up Monday, I think. The media day is Monday for the Pistons.
Yeah, it is. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk more college sports and more pro sports right here on AM 870. So, Mark, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, it's good talking to you here, and we'll talk with you pretty soon.
All right, very good.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Okay, bye-bye. And that's Mark Wilson talking sports with us right here on AM 870, WKAR in East Lansing. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870, WKAR.
Growing up, Carl Taro Greenfield wished more than anything his brother could be normal. Noah's autistic and...
Almost as soon as I have a memory, the memory is of worrying about Noah.
I'm Neil Conan, growing up in the shadow of cognitive disability, what it's like for siblings. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Mostly sunny with a slight chance of rain late today, the high 73 degrees. It'll be partly cloudy tonight with a chance of showers and a low of 48. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high 69 degrees, and sunny for Thursday, the high will be 65. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We'll be open line for the rest of the day and ask you to give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. If you've never called us before, like we said, once again, give us a call. If you want a chance to win tickets, you have a new number to call. 884-4870. 884-4870 for your chance to win tickets to the Michigan State, Ohio State game. That's area code 517-884-4870. Give us a call now. Register for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State, Ohio State game coming up Saturday here on the Michigan State campus. So give that number a call. You can register. We'll have the drawing coming up on Thursday, and you have a chance to draw and win tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. Let's go out to Jim and DeWitt. Jim, how you doing?
Hi, Earl. Interesting graphic on last night's Tigers game.
Yes.
They were comparing Al Kaline with Miguel Cabrera.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, through this point in Miguel's career, number of games played, and they compared to the same number of games played with Al Kaline at the beginning of his career. And wow, their numbers were just about identical. Total hits, doubles, RBIs, home runs. Although Miguel had a few more home runs.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because...
Since the end of August, what has Miguel been batting, like 377 or something crazy like that?
Yes.
Now, question is, Earl, what website, do you have a favorite website for, you know, like everything in the history of the world in terms of statistics of sports? I mean, that's that kind of you know, how do you find information like that?
Well, you're talking about sport all across all fields, or you know, take baseball, and
let's say we're talking about baseball. You know, in other words, that graphic last night comparing Al Kalin and Miguel Cabrera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
through playing through the same number of games. Wow, I mean that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I guess you could. I know there's some baseball websites, and you should be able to look that up on one of the baseball websites to find that. That's for sure. And yes, and but you know that's what you'd have to do. Look up on some of the baseball websites, and you can find out. Basically the overall the comparison for each one. So that's what you have to do. Just look up one of the baseball websites. There are several baseball websites that give you all kind of numbers.
Yeah, the final thing is before I sign off is I'm still hoping that the Tigers will pull this out. I mean,
yes.
We're running out of
yeah, we only got nine games left. Yeah.
What I think is going to, of course, obviously the Tigers have to keep winning, but mm-hmm. what I think is a major factor here is the White Sox have to play Tampa Bay.
Yes. That's going to be big.
So, anyway, I thought I'd share that with you about comparing Al Kalin and Miguel Cabrera and go Tigers.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Yep. Okay.
We'll talk to you later, buddy. Yep. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, yes, that when I see all those different sites or all those, when you compare one guy with one guy, and yes, boy, I mean, everyone, that you can find everybody's name online, but, if you, then they just draw them both out and put them on the screen, that say, well, this guy's this, how good this guy is, and then how good the other one is, and then they just put them on the screen together, and you compare the two and how they're doing it. Yes, that's good, because other than home runs, they're pretty, like he said, pretty even. Miguel's such a big home run hitter, and Al Kalin was never a home run hitter. But they look at the offensive numbers always. That's how we do with baseball. We're always comparing numbers, and basically it's the hitting numbers. That's why I was talking yesterday, complaining a little bit. If Miguel Cabrera wins the Triple Crown, he should be the MVP. I think there's no doubt about that. But they're still saying Mike Trout, because now stolen bases have come back into vogue. And, stolen bases, it was always a good stat, but it never was really considered one of the creme de la creme, stats in things in sports. But it's back now, and it's considered very good, and you've got a young kid doing it. He Trout is 20 years old. He's having a great season, no doubt about that, and he can win the MVP. And it's being based on it, and you have to think it has some credence. If he doesn't win the Triple Crown, then he shouldn't be MVP. That's what people are starting to say. And I would say, even if he doesn't win the Triple Crown, he certainly has a good chance to do it. He certainly should be mentioned in the same breath, even if he doesn't win the Triple Crown. I mean, Triple Crown is a hell of an accomplishment. No one's done it since 67. So, I think you have to give it a lot of credence if he does. But if he doesn't, if it still continues where no one won a Triple Crown in all these years, you have to give him a credence. He's had a heck of a year, a very, very good year. And you have to give that some credence, that's for sure. But we'll have to wait and see. There's only 9 days left, and he could be passed coming up here. It's no telling how it's going to end up, but he could win it, or he might be nosed out in one or two categories. So we'll have to see how that goes. But give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We've got to look at with the football, and you'll hear a lot of the comments from Mark D'Antonio. I'll get them on and edit them. We've got a lot of things to do with all the things we heard from Mark D'Antonio today. He spoke for a long time with us, since, as you know, when everyone knows, he was very short, very brief after the game. So he gave us a long time to talk with him today. So we have a lot of information. We'll get that to you as soon as I get that all edited and everything, and we'll bring that to you as well. So we've got a lot of sports here. And then, of course, we haven't talked much hockey with the hockey lockout, and they're trying to take over the game, as Mark says. So what's going to happen with them? What's going to happen with Donald Fair and the Players Union? It's going to be interesting to see, that's for sure. If they do stick to their guns, it's going to be very, very, very sad, because it's going to be a long, long, long time. Well, right now, let's go back to the phones. We've got Apache on the line. Apache, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Earl. Earl, it sounds like people are saying that the Triple Crown is a stepping stone to MVP. I would take the Triple Crown over the MVP. I think it's a greater prize, don't you?
That's a good prize, but that good prize can get you. You know what they're saying is, if you don't win the Triple Crown, you can't be MVP, or you won't win the MVP. And I'm saying you should. Even if you don't win the Triple Crown, you still should be a candidate for the MVP.
I agree with that. But I think it's a greater award to win the Triple Crown, because it's so unusual.
You know, yes,
like
it is.
It's like pitching a no-hitter. You can get 30 wins, but if you pitch one or two no-hitters, that's a great achievement.
Yes, it is. That is a great achievement. That will be a very good achievement if he gets it. Yes, no doubt about that.
I think he might do it. Mm-hmm. All right, have a good day.
Okay, thanks about you. That'll take a very, very good chance if you do that. Hey, we got our other guest on and commentator with us. We got Alex on the line. Alex, how you doing?
Earl, I'm doing very well. I wanted to ask you, Earl, about the lockout. I wanted to know your opinion on it. I don't know if you heard, Earl, but Jim Devilato, senior VP of the Red Wings, came out and talked about how he was upset with the way the players and coaches were doing. I wanted to know if you heard about those comments and if it was an uncalled-for comment, because the Red Wings were fined $250,000 from it.
Oh, yes. Yes, they were. And the Red Wings are going to go along basically with what all the team owners want, because, you know, they're one of the owners, and they're going to do whatever owners management, because they want to break up the union. They want to, and tear it down, because they want to change the game. They want to change the game, the whole pay structure, the pay scale. I mean, that's what they want to do, and they know the only way to do that is to really break up the union if they can do it. So they'll try to do that, and maybe they'll be successful or not. But if they are successful, you'll hear a far different pay scale coming up. And hockey will be a totally different financial structure. But, you know, that's because they don't have a big TV contract. They're not like football or baseball, who have big TV deals. Hockey doesn't have that, because basically they expanded too much in North America, and, you know, it really is killing them. They need to probably expand more up north, up in like Portland and things like that. But, the way it is now, they've got to change that structure. The players making a whole lot of money, but they really want to change the whole structure of the game. So we'll have to wait and see. Can they do it? Can they break the union and change the structure of NHL hockey?
Right, Earl. And I wanted to know, where do you draw the line between what comments are allowed and what aren't allowed?
Say that again?
I wanted to know, what is the fine line between what Jim Devilato can say and what he can't say? Because it's not like he made any obscene remarks. He didn't
talk, right.
He didn't do anything like that. What I'm wondering is, how can you, fine $250,000 for, what he said against the league? It's just a player opinion that anyone could say on Twitter or Facebook.
Yes, and that's the thing. I don't know if there really is a straight line, because or a line that you can draw, because the thing is, he's part of management. Jim Devilano's part of management. So since he's part of management, he's got to learn that you really can't say anything right now. So he's basically been told, hey, you got to shut up. You can't say anything, because it could be interpreted as helping what the union wants, or couldn't help the league. So I don't know if he's got a specific something that he's got to listen to or follow. But, he's just going to have to be quiet, and that's what they're telling him. Hey, Jim, be quiet, shut up, and that's it.
Yeah, so Earl, I got to ask, I want an early game day pick. Are you going to give a little hint on who you're liking this weekend or what?
No, you'll hear that on Friday.
All right, Earl, love the show.
Okay, hey, we'll talk with you later, Alex. Okay, thanks. And that's Alex Sharag, our other producer. He'll be in here on Thursday and Friday as well. Aaron will be gone. And Aaron... As you know, I have to get your pick. So he's on the phone right now. We'll talk a little bit with Aaron. I'll get Aaron's pick on the Michigan State-Ohio State game coming up on Saturday. We'll talk with him about that one. And we'll talk a little basketball as well. Basketball season is right around the corner. Matter of fact, I was over there yesterday, watched a little bit of guys just working out. They were just working out on their own. Just did a little bit of that. So, we'll be talking a lot more hoops, Michigan State hoops, coming up in the very near future. Now, Aaron, since Alex tried to pin me down, I'll pin you down. Who are you going to like? Who do you like coming up on Saturday?
Well, I guess I'm not on Friday's show.
That's right.
So I guess it's only fair. I don't know yet. I was talking with my friend. He actually went to Ohio State, and I was talking to him last night. And he Ohio State's got their troubles. I mean,
yeah, they do.
One thing he's noticed with their defense is one, they have a decent defense, but there's a one fundamental you got to do in order to be a good defense, and that's tackling. And
yep.
That's something that apparently Ohio State has met. They've just had poor tackling. So. And with Michigan State and Bell, I mean, if they can't tackle Bell, he's going to run on them all day.
Yes.
But I think each team has their problems.
Yes.
I think it's a little difficult. So, I'm going to take some of the stats, non-things that would sway in Michigan State's way. One, being at home, that helps. The fact that it's a game during the middle of the day, I think, just helps as well. So I'm going to go with Michigan State on this one. Frankly, I think it can go either way. We don't know what we're going to get with the wide receivers besides Sims. We know Sims can catch the ball. I don't know about anyone else. Bell can catch it out of the backfield, but we've seen him drop it here and there too. So, but if they run Bell all day and if they can't stop the run, that's going to help the pass game. That's going to open up the play action. So, if Bell can run it quite well against this Ohio State defense, I expect Michigan State to win. I also expect Michigan State's defense to be able to stop Braxton Miller and that offense as well. So, but Miller, he can run. So, I mean, we'll have to kind of wait and see how they play that out too. You have to cover him too. He's also a defender. He also becomes, just because he's a quarterback doesn't mean you have to play him like a wide receiver or running back too. So, we'll have to see how it plays out, but I got Michigan State. It's going to be close. Okay. I'm not going to give you a score, though.
Okay, well, that's fair. And I'm not sure who I'm going to pick. I jumped too early on the Ohio State bandwagon. I did that yesterday. So I'm jumping off the bandwagon for Ohio State now. And like you said, I'm going to be looking at both teams. I'm going to look at Ohio State a lot closer because they have a lot of issues. So I got to look more at their issues, to be honest with you, to be honest with Alex, too. I got to look more at Ohio State's issues and see how they match up well against Michigan State. And you got to remember, and I forgot this, Urban Meyer in there his first year, he's putting in a brand new system, and they're putting in this whole system, and, he's doing okay with it, but, he's got to they're still getting used to that Ohio State system. So, and once they get a hold of that and they get used to that, then maybe that they can take off. But we know he's got a lot of talent. I probably was looking at the talent, just looking at the talent. They have a lot of talent there. And I don't know if talent, they might not have enough talent to win this game. That's for sure.
Yeah, and the new system, it's always hard to implement a new system right away and then have it, function perfectly every single game. Also, frankly, they're only playing for pride this year.
Yes, that's
true. I mean, they can't go anywhere and do anything. So, that's another thing that the players have to adjust to, and sometimes that might play a factor into it. But, it's a difficult situation for that team. But you know what? They're playing well. They got a good record, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah, we will. I mean, they're 4-0 right now, and hopefully this will be their first loss, and we'll just have to wait and see. But, yes, that should be a very good game Saturday. It's only a one-point spread if you look at the odds makers' lines and all that. But, hey, we want to thank you for listening and thank you for calling. We want you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. Tomorrow we'll talk with boxer Seth Mitchell. Tomorrow he'll be on with us, so make sure you tune in and listen to Seth Mitchell, one of the premier heavyweights in boxing. So give us a call. Talk sports with us. Talk with Seth Mitchell. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Thank you for listening, and we invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.